Yo, you listening to the WBH Radio Podcast. My name is William Holly. You're listening to episode number...
I don't think this got a number, though.
Yo, I don't even want to give this one a number. I feel like we've been behind. We haven't covered a lot of things. So I want to do like a catch-up episode, man. We're gonna call it the lost episode. Let me tell you, when I started this podcast, I really stopped paying attention to sports media. I didn't want my opinion to be affected. I just wanted to hear the news and then react. So what I would do is I would just jump in every now and again and hear the topics and then go do the podcast. But shoot, I haven't even been doing that lately. I've really been slacking. But luckily, I got some family here to help me catch up.
In the building.
The show's gambling expert slash legal mind, graduating from the School of Hard Knocks with a law degree.
Yeah.
My man, Fem. Fem, what up?
What's going on, man? What's going on? Glad to be here, man. We're in the lovely, lovely, beautiful Brooklyn campus. I spent a nice summer here.
Shout out to Brooklyn College, WBCR. Now, Fem, you've been getting on me. You said I've been slacking. I ain't been on the podcast. I've been skipping topics. Like, yo, what we got, man? What did I miss?
Well, I don't know if you missed it or you might have ran from it. A certain Fox comment personality, Laura Ingraham, she had something to say to LeBron James and Kevin Durant when they spoke out about a couple of social injustice issues that they had a problem with. Her go-to line was shut up and dribble, which caused a ripple wave, tidal waves throughout all of media, social media. It was everywhere. Like, it was World War III just started. I didn't know what to make from it, but...
Okay, hold on. You told me what the world thought of it. What did you think of her shut up and dribble comments?
I mean, it came from Fox News. It came from a personality on Fox News, an outspoken personality that is, I can't even say far right. She's all the way to the right. She's about to circle back around coming left. She's gone.
But let me say this. The president of the United States is a public figure, so he's open to being scrutinized, which is what LeBron and Kevin Durant did. Now, LeBron James is also a public figure. Shouldn't he be open to criticism? Shouldn't Lauren Ingraham have the right to say, you know what, to criticize his speech? I do remember that. She criticized his speech, his lack of control of the English language.
Yeah, she tried to knock him down because he didn't go to college. As we all know, LeBron James went straight from high school to the pros, so he doesn't have a college degree. But what she said was not a knock on his control or ability to use the English language. What she said was, I was holding back. I had the kitty glove. But what she said was pretty much straight up racist comment. She should have just said, yo, N-word, you, what are you talking about? Don't say anything about our politics, especially anything that got anything to do against my politics, my Republican politics, plain and simple.
Yo, this is my frustration with the black community.
Oh, man. Here we go again, Mr. Whitlock.
This is my frustration. She criticized LeBron James for...
Hold on, let me stop you. Everyone, especially these public figures, they are out there. They're public figures. They are open to criticism from anyone, left, right, front, and center. But your criticism has to be based on something. And if you're going to use that platform to be derogatory towards someone, not effectively criticize them on what they're doing, and you're just bashing them, that's two different things. Being critical of someone is different from using derogatory language to take them down.
Now, we got to throw in the fact that she has a book that's called Shut Up and Sing. Okay, Shut Up and Sing. So that's her tagline. That's her little cute tagline. That's her marketing. But listen, though, get back to what I was saying. My frustration with the black community is, like, yo, every time somebody is critical of them, they scream racism. Now, Laura Ingraham, the Fox personality, she's saying, yo, the president was voted by millions of people. There are people that study politics. There are people that study the economy. People that study educational system. LeBron, you are not that guy. In this world, you are a basketball player, so go do basketball. Okay, so that's really what she was saying. I don't understand how we jump to racism.
It's the way she used the term.
That's a victim mentality by my black folks.
Nah.
No matter what they say about you, you're going to find a way to be a victim. Now, San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich has been critical of the president as well. Fox News got at him. Oh. Shut up and coach. And he's a white man. It's not a racial thing. When Barack Obama was in office, the black community said, yo, I don't care what you feel about him. I don't care what you think of him. Respect the office. And Fenton, myself, You know, I was in the U.S. Army. There was plenty of mofos that I couldn't stand as a man. But you understand, you know what? You got to respect the rank. You got to respect the office. The same way the black community asked for that when Barack was in office, Trump and his supporters are asking for the same. Fenn, let me, it's not disrespectful to call the president a fool or a jackass. I forget, whichever way they challenged him. It's not disrespectful to call the president of the United States that?
If you acting as such,
you're going to be. It's the office.
If you walk like a duck, talk like. If you're using the office to go on a rampage on Twitter, does that sound presidential to you? So you're acting as such as what they called you. If you acting the fool, somebody's going to call you the fool. Just like this personality, this Miss Ingram, she used her platform to tell these guys, yo, shut up, you're basketball players, play basketball, leave politics alone for the politicians and the people who know politics. Well, politics affects everyone. LeBron James' basketball career affects LeBron James and the people watching LeBron James and the people paying for the product that LeBron James does. Politics affects everyone, so everybody, every citizen of the United States has a valid opinion on their politics, regardless of what side they take.
Absolutely. He's a citizen of the United States. He has a vote. His opinion counts. But in the same breath, so does Laura Ingram. And she told him, yo, shut up and dribble. Now, I think she should be able to say that without being called a racist. Yo, Fenn, I cringe every time we hear something we don't like. Yo, playing by big boy rules cannot be a thing of convenience. LeBron James, your Nike ad campaign is, yo, I'm a kid from Akron, Ohio, not the best education. Yo, that's how you make millions of dollars in the sneakers. So if Laura Ingram want to flip that and say, yo, poke fun at the way he used the English language, she's entitled. She poked fun at Kevin Durant because he kept saying, yo, that's like, yo, she's entitled. She should be able to do that without being called a racist. Yo, come on, black folks, man, stop being a victim. We just had the Oscars yesterday. I remember a few years ago, they're like, oh, no black people getting nominated. Okay, you can have that take, or you could say, damn, we came a long way. Guess who hosted those Oscars? Chris Rock. No matter what situation it is, you could play victim, or you could say, dang, we winning. Glass could either be half full or half empty, and blacks always want to be the freaking victim. Stop it. Nah. Bron, get your paper. Don't stop worrying about Laura Ingram.
He ain't worried about her. Yo, he laughed at her comments.
Y'all just made her book sales go through the roof. That's it.
If that. I mean, she used that. She said, oh, that's my go-to line. I use that all the time. If you could check back, I've said it before. She made one book after some people criticized the president, a Republican president, George Bush. So what is she doing? She's just defending her stance. She's not doing anything special. She's no special talent. She's just another face out there. Anybody could put this crazy white ring rhetoric out there, and that sells. You know why? Because the majority, unfortunately, of this country eating up that crap. What are you gonna do?
I got you, man. But she should be able to have an opinion and not be called a racist. And black people should step away from that. I'll tell you this, yo. There's mad times I'm out in public. I'm in a restaurant. I'm somewhere, and the service is subpar, and I let the worker know that. And I walk away thinking like, dang, if a white person would have told that server what I just said, he would have been called a racist. No, the mother was just subpar. That's it.
All right, so then LeBron's comments of the president is such, and her comments on LeBron is such. What's to say that the way she's using and the way she's directing her comments and energy doesn't have something behind it? It doesn't have some kind of racial connotation or I'm not saying it does or it doesn't, but I'm just saying, how does it look? I'm not the one that's going to defend racism here and there. I'm the first one to say, like, yo, it's whatever. I'm going to live my life the best of my life. I don't care what anybody else thinks or says. But at the end of the day, I got to call a spade a spade.
Yo, victim mentality, man. I'm done. It's a victim mentality, and we got to shake it.
Okay. And the first thing to do, we've got to look as equal. She tried to come at LeBron, shut up and dribble. Look what LeBron, shut up and dribble, has done for LeBron James and the things that he does for his community. She can't say the same thing. LeBron James is putting people to college. She's just putting people down. I don't think LeBron publicly has said anything so directly harsh and with such malice towards anyone. You can't find a public statement about LeBron using the quote-unquote the English words, her grasp of the English language to direct such a nasty comment towards somebody. Yeah, he said the president may be a fool, but that's lighthearted and jovial. You know what I mean? What she said and the way she said it and the connotation that the way she did it, it was an attack. Jokes is one thing, an attack is a different thing. Am I wrong here?
I don't know, man. They would have never let anybody get away with calling Barack Obama a fool. In fact, when Donald Trump was asking Barack Obama for his birth certificate to prove that he was an American.
Got it.
People came at Trump. And he was he wasn't even saying anything derogatory. He just said, hey, you the president of our country, prove you're American.
But the same way people asking for his taxes. Every sitting president since 1901, 1900 long, since forever, put their taxes out. What he got to hide? Who you protecting, Will?
Nah, ain't nobody protecting. I think we get too caught up in what the opposition is saying. And we allow that to affect our days. There was a Twitter storm because this woman sat back and says, shut up and dribble. And I'm going to show you how I know it's a victim mentality. Because if somebody from another racial party or somebody who we feel doesn't have the edge on us, had they said it, we would have laughed it off. Ha, 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 ha. But we think they got the upper hand on us.
They do. It's a fact. But who has the upper hand right now in the situation that's going on with the NFL? I don't know if you were paying attention to this, Will, but Jerry Jones about to get slapped with a $2 million bill for pushing his agenda against Roger Goodell when his running back, all-star, all-pro running back, Ezekiel Elliott, was going through his legal troubles. Roger Goodell said, hey, I'm the big man here. You don't talk back to me. You know what? We had to do all this, had to put in all this legwork, hire all these million-dollar attorneys. I got a bill here. I'm not paying it. Here you go, Jerry.
Yo, you ever seen The Godfather?
Of course, man. What you mean?
Oh, I never seen it. But but yo, this sounds like something in those type of movies. Oh, Donnie Brasco with Al Pacino and Johnny Depp. Yo, when you go against the family, you gotta pay a price, man. So Jerry Jones, like, they was about to suspend his running back. So he was like, yo, he tried to stop Roger Goodell from getting his new contract. Like, he was just kicking up dust, like, having a fit. Yo, you can't do that in front of the workers, the NFL players, in front of the fans. So now they bring in the hammer, and they're going to make him pay. Because you need to always show that unit is together. Like, yo, it's like your parents. Your parents may argue, but, yo, not in front of the kids. Don't challenge my authority in front of the kids. So I understand it. I understand it. You go against the family, son, you got to pay the price. You got to pay the price.
I mean, it's crazy to think that he's coming back after all this. The dust has settled for such a long time. It was 6 months ago that this was going on. And all of a sudden, Goodell got that bill in the mail. Like, oh, nah, he called his credit card company like, yo, this wasn't me.
Yo, listen. Yo, we give these rich folks too much credit, son. They just humans. They just men. Yo, men are petty. These rich, powerful men used to having what they want, not being challenged. So they like, yo, we going to discipline this man in public, son. I'm not surprised by that at all. I'm not surprised. And I expect Jerry to spend $2 million trying to get out of having to give him $2 million.
I'm honestly surprised by it because this came out of nowhere.
Nah.
This came out of nowhere. I didn't expect this to happen, but I don't fault Roger Goodell for it. Like you said, You don't go against the grain. So what happened? You get punched in the mouth. It's pretty much. And Jerry can't really have much of a defense towards it. I'm pretty sure he may try to take it to court. He may try to, you know, kick a couple cents off the bill. But it's like the tax man, man. When you get that tax bill, end of the year, you got to pay up.
You got to pay. Jerry Jones, it was funny how he tried to really stop Roger Goodell. Yo, these dudes is petty, son. These dudes is petty. We give these guys too much credit. Oh, he's a millionaire, so we're going to call him Mr. Jones. Yo, these dudes ain't no different than anybody else out here.
Nah, they just men, man.
That's
but
it.
It's an ego, man. Mine's against yours. Who going to win? And what happened? Goodell's ego was coming at Jerry Jones for trying to suspend his player. And Jerry said, nah, you're not going to do me like that. I'm Big Jerry Jones. Big Bad Jerry Jones. So I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. He went down swinging, and it looked like he had a case. And then Roger came back with the rope-a-dope. Muhammad Ali versus Frazier, Rumble in the Jungle.
But yo,
came back with the rope-a-dope.
Yo, Roger Goodell is pulling some crazy boss moves, though. If you if you know how these leagues work, the commissioner is appointed by the owners. So essentially, he works for the owners. They're his boss.
Absolutely.
But Roger Goodell, he got his new contract, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Took it to the bank.
Private planes.
And now he's exerting his power. Like, yo, Jerry, I'm coming at you and you can't do anything about it. I never seen anything like that. You think he would be humble, like, yo, these are my bosses. No, Jerry, you tried to get me up out of here and you can't, and now you got to pay. I got the other 29-plus owners on my side. Yo, Fenn, that's a major boss move, so I respect it.
What? You say it's a boss move, but do you think he would have tried to pull that stunt had he not got his contract? If Jerry Jones was still delaying his contract and getting the pushback on it, do you think Roger Goodell would have tried that move without a contract? That's a real boss move. What you got for
me? Nah, probably not. Probably not. Roger Goodell's showing you how to move in a room full of vultures. He's showing you. He's like, yo, I'm going to get the bag first, and then y'all can't do anything. Y'all can't move me from this spot.
Secure the bag, man. That's how we do it, man. If y'all don't know anything about nothing, you got to secure the bag first. Show him, Goodell.
That's what I thought. That's what I wish Kaepernick would have did, honestly. That's what I didn't want to go there, but no. Listen.
All right, man. Cap got it. We're going to save Cap for another day.
Like, yo, Cap, if you're going to go against the grain, if you're going to kick up dust, make sure you secure first.
Free my man Cap.
And then just watch them sit there and marvel at, dang, I can't do nothing to this boy. But nah, that's a boss move.
All right. You know what's the boss move?
What's that?
Picking up Giancarlo Stanton from the Miami Marlins. We talking about the New York Yankees here. Spring training's in full effect, man.
Yo. Spring training, son. I'm supposed to be down there.
You're supposed to be down there. I was about to, booking my flight to Tampa. What's up?
Last year I was out there in spring training with the New York Yankees, man, riding around in the sun. I hear we supposed to get 12 inches of snow on Wednesday.
But
Tampa was good, man. I got my restaurants. It was lit, son. Baseball every day. But yeah, them Yankees picked up Giancarlo Stanton.
They picked up somebody else, too. I don't know if you heard of this guy, Russell Wilson. He plays for the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks, NFL championship-winning quarterback. He's playing for the Yankees this spring training. What you think about that?
Yo, I don't like shit like that. this is the New York Yankees, man. History, Babe Ruth, Reggie Jackson, Goose Gossage.
Billy Crystal.
It's a sideshow. It's a sideshow. I do not like Russell Wilson in the New York Yankees camp. I do not like it. We don't have to do anything for attention. Yes, I said we. I'm a Yankee. I got the pinstripes.
Oh, no. We. I'm down with that cause, too.
But listen, Fent. Yo, it's the New York Yankees. People travel far and wide to see the pinstripes. It's prestige. It's honor. We don't have to do little tricks like this, bringing Russell. I do not like that, son. I do not like that.
Yo, first of all, the man was drafted by the Texas Rangers. He's not no sideshow. He's not a Billy Crystal. He's not a Will Ferrell. He's not these dudes.
He chose his career. All right, that's cute. He could play baseball, but he chose his career. He's a football player now. We don't need to bring him in every spring so we could get some ticket holders to come see batting practice. That should be beneath the New York Yankees. Who's the next player they're going to bring in? Jameis Winston? Quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He played baseball, too.
Yo, Jameis could ball, man.
Stop it, bro. Let's get ready for the season. We just came off of a American League conference appearance. We got a lot of
seven
new parts.
Seven games, man.
Let's gear up and get ready for a season. We not one of these teams that need to do tricks to sell tickets. Nah, bro. I was disappointed. I was definitely disappointed. My man, you taking away batting practice from real players. You taking away at-bats from real players. There's a lot of young kids. We know about all the stars. There's a lot of young kids that's trying to break in and make that team. That's an at-bat they could have had to show Brian Cashman, show Aaron Boone. Y'all belong in the big leagues. That's a big difference between these kids making $80,000 this year or $500,000 being in the big leagues. I ain't with it.
I mean, I get it. You want everybody to get the opportunity, but at the same time, the man, he sort of earned his opportunity by being drafted. They didn't just pick him up. They had to trade for this man.
They traded for this man. They used
the draft pick to get him.
He has been drafted, but he is not a working baseball player. He is not chasing the dream. Who was it?
Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders. Oh. He might catch the fever, man.
Yo, Samuel Jackson, one of the better actors. If you've ever seen any movie ever, you've seen Samuel Jackson. It's like he's in every movie. I remember years ago he spoke out against movies just throwing actors in there because they got the fan base. He's like, yo, you taking money from working actors who are really respecting the craft. Russell Wilson ain't respecting the craft.
He ain't respecting the craft. Yo, you see my man in batting practice? My man went back-to-back home runs on him, man. Ask you this. Have you ever hit a live baseball? Have you ever took batting practice? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. You know how difficult it is, even just to make contact. And it doesn't even have to be coming hard. 40, 50 miles per hour. How difficult it is just to make contact alone is very difficult. And to take it out the park twice back to back? If that
for a professional baseball player, that's not impressive, Fenton.
It isn't impressive, but the man, like you said, isn't a working baseball player. No, he's a professional football player.
Any baseball player that played high school baseball could take the ball out of the park. I've seen it. I was down there with the Bat Boys, and they was going yard.
They college players. They all in the game. Exactly. You and I off the street ain't doing that.
What did the Yankees organization get out of having Russell Westbrook there? Russell Wilson. I did that.
Yeah, you wanted Westbrook there too, and then you're going to get mad. Like, yo.
No. Fam, what are the Yankees set to gain from bringing in this guy, this sideshow?
It's spring training, bro. It ain't hurting nobody to get some ticket sales in. You know what? If they would have got him last year, you probably would have been on now. They would have had a contract for you. They had some money to give you a little bag. Like, yo, look, man, we got the bag now. Here, what we need you on? Are you mad now, man?
Nah, he... He just left recently, and he gave everybody on the team a signed football. I would have definitely had to snatch one.
Exactly. Look at you. Nah, I don't want him here. Get out of here, man. That's what's going on right now, man. This guy out here fronting, man. You know what's going on right now? We're in the month of March. It's March Madness time. You know what's going to be crazy? When all the dust settle and the buzzer beaters go in, the crowd goes crazy. This year's championship is going to be going to nobody.
Why is that?
Because everybody in the NCAA taking the money under the table. This is crazy. The FBI is having an ongoing investigation, investigating all the top brass, all the blue bloods, all the big names, Duke, Kentucky, Michigan State, John Calipari, Coach K. Everybody's getting touched. This is like that indictment that happened the other day in Brooklyn a couple years back where like 100,000 people got indicted. They came and swooped up the whole piece. I've never seen anything like this. It's crazy because this has probably been going on since, you know, whenever the NCAA was incepted. So I can't say this is something that I didn't expect, but this widespread with this such prestigious names and big programs, I was floored.
Who's to blame for it?
Oh, the NCAA. All
right, let me ask you this. And I said this on one of the recent podcasts, and when I said it, I had you in mind, so I'm glad I got you here to answer. I said, Fent, there's somebody in Bank of America, in TD, in Chase, that's trying to get over on these banks with fake checks, fake credit cards. We probably know a few of them. But nobody says, yo, TD is corrupt. Nobody says Chase is corrupt. So, oh, boom, there's money in sports. There's money in college athletics. There's a lot of money around there. So, of course, wherever the money is, you're going to have the fraudulent people trying to get over. So because that's happening, why do we blame the NCAA for that?
When was the last time you worked for free, Will?
Fent.
When was the last time you worked for free? Do you make it a habit of working for free? Busting your butt every day, blood, sweat, and tears for nothing? Not for nothing, rather, for basically nothing? Because a college education is nothing to somebody that don't know how to utilize it. A college degree means nothing to somebody who can't weaponize that.
Hold on. There's a few things there. Okay, we're talking about playing college basketball for free. There's a few things there. Yo, in California and Colorado, weed is legal now, but it's not legal here. But the way to legalize weed is by lobbying politicians. Right, the time to question the weed law is not when you just got arrested with pounds and pounds of weed. That's not the time to question the law. All right, so if you want to change the rules, if college athletes want to change the rules, you do it on the front end.
You took the wrong step, brother. I'm about to kill you.
You try to challenge it the right way. The laws are the laws. You don't get busted and they say, "Yo, man, that was unfair." Nah, you gotta pay the crime. You gotta do the time.
Absolutely. So first you started off by saying, who would be wrong for committing the crime if you was a Bank of America? The Bank of America is bank fraud going on. Obviously, the criminals are coming into that institution and conducting criminal activity. The bank isn't to blame for somebody coming into their institution conducting criminal activity. But the NCAA is creating this atmosphere where they are gaining billions of dollars for free labor. These guys are going to class for half a semester, pulled out of class for the remainder of the school year to basically work on that chip. They're not going to school for a full year. They're not doing all the class. They're getting pulled. They're doing communications degree. They're doing arts and science, liberal sciences degree. They're not doing anything that's going to further them in their future if they don't make it to the pros. So what's happening there? They're being used. That's pretty much it. They're being used. If you went to the bank today and you put in your ATM card and you get $100 out when you only ask for 10 at the ATM, are you going to give that back? No, you're going to take that bag. And that's what the NCAA is doing. They're taking advantage of the system. These players are not getting money for their likeness. They're selling out jerseys. They're selling out stadiums. You know how much it costs for NBC to buy the rights to air March Madness? That's $1 billion, $1 million deals. Who's getting that money? The NCAA. And they're only paying the overhead. And then after that, which is nothing compared to the profit, they're eating.
Hold on, man. We got to slow down here. You just said a lot just there. I didn't want to get into why and should athletes get paid. I was going to wait until the summer when things slow down. I need some slow topics, but we could go there for a minute. But, again, I think you really just – my argument, the time – if you want to challenge it, a few years ago, I don't know if you saw when the Northwestern college athletes, they tried to unionize and tried to bring together a union for college athletes. That's the way you challenge the
system. And that got shut down.
That's the way you in a court of law.
Exactly.
But that's not the NCAA. Hold on. Stop. That's not the NCAA.
Took the wrong step again.
They tried to unionize and
they lost in the court of law. Keep going.
They lost in the court of law. That's not the NCAA. Now, let me get into these athletes and being used and working for free. My brother Fender. So, dang, I want to give you the long version, but I got you here, so we're going to try to go back and forth. So, hold on. Fenton.
Yep.
He asked me, "Yo, Will, do you make it a habit of working for free?" Mm-hmm. I mean, not ideally.
Oh, not ideally.
But I must say, Fenton, you know I have an undergraduate degree in accounting. I have a master's degree in sports management from Brooklyn College. I have taken plenty internships for free. Okay? The payment is not cash, but it's an opportunity to get ahead, to network. That is the payment. So because the CEO of that company is making a gazillion dollars, it doesn't make me privy to money, okay? You two, you've graduated in pre-law. You have done internships also. So I look at the NCAA as an internship opportunity. Because people are making money around you, you're not privy. There's somebody in Apple right now who is an intern. Because the guy at the top is making all this money, you are not privy. Microsoft, no matter what you, whatever company, that's how business works. Now, that's one point. 5 years from now, let's say we had the college football playoff. If I told you Alabama was playing, LSU was playing, USC, and whoever Clemson. Other team, Clemson. If I told you they were playing, we could sell that stadium out right now, not knowing what athletes are playing, which kids. It's not about that. In college athletics, it's about the colors. It's not about the individuals. So to quote my man Smokey from Friday, you didn't put in on this, man. If these athletes are not contributing, I know they like to believe they are. Anthony Davis, all these guys came through Kentucky. Guess what? Kentucky is still selling out. College athletics is not about any individual athlete. So since you didn't put in on this pot, you are not privy to pull from it. You are not privy to pull from it. Marcus Page, he played for the University of North Carolina. He was in that final championship game against Villanova. He hit one of the biggest shots for North Carolina. Boom. And then the Villanova kid came in on the back end. I think it's Chris Jenkins. He hit the biggest shot in probably tournament history. Those two kids are in the D League right now, barely playing in front of 8,000 people. If you were somebody that drew attention and drew fans to the game, then you would be privy. But, yo, in college athletics, they showing up for that Tar Heel color, not any individual student. Ashley Judd, she's a big fan of the Wildcats. She shows up no matter who's in uniform. You don't contribute to this, so you're not privy to pull from it. And these college athletes, they need to understand that. And you know what? If I'm getting used by the system, let me make the system work for me. If I'm a college athlete and I'm playing in front of these freaking 30,000 people, I got access to an alumni base, I'm telling my coach, yo, coach, you got an alumni in the movie business? My little sister trying to be an actress. All right, let's have dinner. Boom, boom, boom. I'm taking advantage of that. I'm capitalizing off that. They using you, well, use them just the same. It's an internship, network, meet people. Half of these kids don't even play, go professional.
All right, if that's the case, then why this whole thing started with the FBI investigating NCAA? So why are these big shoe companies, why are these sports agents paying players to come to certain universities? Why is that taking place?
Again, I told you, there is money around a handful of these athletes. There is money around a handful of these athletes. That's where you have the crooks. And then that's when the NCAA swoops in and punishes them. Like, we just seen them take away the championship from Louisville. But I don't understand. And, yo, you know my history with the NCAA. Real talk, I'm probably getting into this in the summer. I had one of the most prestigious jobs with the NCAA. I was part of the internship program. I was going to be working on the Final Four. They fired me before I even showed up. So I have no reason to defend the NCAA. But, yo, and we talking about a handful of players. When the NCAA, they talk about athletes as a whole, the lacrosse, the cheerleaders. Dog, a handful of sports make money.
And the majority
and that
don't.
Money, that money goes to feed everybody else. The lacrosse, the soccer, everybody else.
How you say that where a lot of these players saying, yo, I'm broke. I can't get nothing to eat. Yo, I don't got no clothes. I got no shoes. Like, they have real life issues. But they gotta show up, come practice, and they got to go to the game and perform.
Yo, Fenton, it wasn't challenging for us to take these internships?
Of course.
We had to. Yo, son, I got it. I'm working. I'm doing my limo job. I'm working just so I could go to an office and mix it up. It's a sacrifice, absolutely. So, if you're not hungry, if you're hungry playing college athletics, don't play. But you know what? You understand that, yo, this could pay off in the long run. If I could make it through these 1, 2, 3, 4 years, it'll pay off in the long run. And I'm not even talking about the big-time NBA talents. I'm talking about the kid who played Ohio State football for 4 years, struggled. But now he's a car salesman in Columbus. And his whole network knows him because he was the center for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He was the 13th man on the basketball team, and he didn't go on to be an NBA. But that sacrifice allowed him to be Anthony Davis's accountant or brand manager.
No, you're absolutely right. There's opportunities to be made here for as a college athlete, but at the same time, you're talking about this is as an internship. This isn't an internship for these dudes. These dudes, even if they play there 4 years, they still gonna have to do. I didn't ask to do an internship. I was required to do so for my degree. I didn't ask to do an internship. These dudes are being asked to come to these schools and play
Fenton,
college.
Stop! You're too smart for that.
That's not how it goes,
yo. Fent,
how you came to Brooklyn? Did they recruit you to come to Brooklyn?
I didn't play at Brooklyn, stupid.
I mean, York. They come looking for you at yes, York. They yes. came looking for
okay,
you.
Okay, Fent.
It's like, yo, Fent. You over there at Kingsborough killing. Yo, come over to York, man.
But yo, stop.
Yo, come, Jamaica Ave, man, come through.
See, again, we going back to that Victor. We have options in this world.
Of course, everybody has options.
You go to these campuses. You go to Duke because you understand, Dan, the opportunities are endless. I get to play on national television. I get to raise my stock and do all kind of things.
You're talking apples and oranges, Will, man.
Ask me a direct question. What's the question?
Like, you said this is an internship. Use it as such, but it's not an internship, all right? That's what I was saying before. My point was the internships that we had to do and we had to work and we had to go to school for, those are required for us. Obviously, we were living our life and we had to put food on the table for ourselves. These dudes, like I said, are being asked to come to these schools and play for these universities.
Hold on. All internships are not voluntary. No, I mean, are not necessary?
No, they're not. But you said what we had to do.
I took some internships I didn't have to do.
I did four internships that I had to do all of them. I wasn't doing it for the love.
No, the opportunity.
I had to go to AC, my man.
No, the opportunity. Just look at the gig I just got off with the Yankees. That wasn't going to give me a house on the hill. I did it to be in that room. Next thing you know, you got Aaron Judge on the podcast. Check out that episode.
Shout out to Judge, man. 99, man.
Be on the lookout for Aaron Hicks coming up soon.
Yeah.
But yo, Fenn, yo, it's the opportunity to and a lot of these kids, dog, they not showing up to see y'all. I know you want to believe that. They not showing up to see y'all. Let me ask you this. Fenn, are you familiar with Title IX? What's Title IX?
Title IX is to put it in a lot of words, I guess the law that governs, I don't want to say fairness, but...
Yeah, when it comes to college athletics, so Title IX really started, is the reason that women go to school on college athletic scholarships. Title IX makes sure that their coaches get paid a reasonable salary. You know, if the men's coach gets a full-time salary, then the women's coach needs to get a full-time salary. Right? So if I asked you, yo, is Title IX a good thing? What would you say?
It balanced out the equation.
Okay. So Title IX, we celebrate that. Yo, our women get to go to school for free. So if it's good for the women, why can't it be good for the men? If an education is good for the women, we celebrate Pat Summitt. She used to coach at the Tennessee Volunteers. She was there for 20-something years. She had 100% graduation rate. All of those women going on to be doctors, lawyers. We celebrate that on the women's side. Yo, if I ask anybody to a man, Title IX, good or bad, oh, it's great. Our women get to go to school on a free education. So why is it not good for the men? Because they see that money. But, dog, you didn't put in on that. You're not contributing to that. That's not your money.
Yeah, like I was saying, you're favoring your argument to your side of the equation. Title IX, it's not the same argument to what we're talking about, the NCAA and how they're using these players. You said you brought up Pat Summitt, how she has 100% graduation rate. How many female college athletes do you see them as one and done? No. I don't want to be absolutist, but I could say without any doubt that more than 99% of female college athletes go to school for 4 years, finish with their degree. They're not the same. This isn't the same thing. So when you say use this as an internship, it's not an internship. Like I said, you could use it and maximize your opportunity. You could do that, yeah. More power to the dudes who are able to do that, but that's not what it is.
Yo, hold on, Fenn. This is what really frustrates me about this thing.
All right, don't pay them for their play. Pay them for their likeliness. If you guys are selling out their jerseys, they got to put on their back and they're performing, and their jersey is number one in the building, and they selling out, give them that. They making games up for this, and they selling out these games for these players that they put it on the cover. Give them that's on them. That's not NCAA. That's not the coaches. That's not the university. That's that player showing out, balling hard, doing his thing, and he's selling out his jersey or selling out these games. That's their right. Tell me I'm wrong on that. At least give me that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But we would have to break down how much of that sale.
Break it down.
Listen, how much of that sale is because...
If I eat, you eat. Break it up.
No. How much of that sale is because there's a Duke on the front or there's a Michigan State on the front, right? So we would have to sit down and break. Yo, how much of that is credited to the student-athlete?
Okay. Universities play a big role, but how many times you see student-athletes that's big-time, they're not in major universities, and they showing out, and they on ESPN every day. Look at Trey Young right now at Oklahoma Sooners. That's a big university, but they wasn't going nowhere for a long time. The last time we talked about Oklahoma, I think it was in, like, 07.
But listen, hold on. This we acting like we don't have options. I've never been somebody who walks into a store and can wrestle somebody down with the price. Because my thing is, yo, you went in that person's store. If the sneakers is $150, either you pay or you take your ball and go home. And the same is with the NCAA. We have options in this world. Brandon Jennings, he's from California. He was one of the hottest basketball players coming out of high school. He wasn't with that NCAA not getting paid for his play. So you know what he did? He went overseas, played a year, and then came back. Okay, we got options. You can't go to the NCAA and demand you guys pay me. No, no, you can't go in somebody's house and demand they give you something. So you got one or two options. If you don't like it, go elsewhere. And lastly, my last example, Thon Maker. He plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. After high school, he just hid. He didn't go to college. He didn't go overseas. Nobody knows where he was. But he said, you know what? I'm not giving y'all my knees and my legs and my skills for free. So he went wherever the hell he went to the gym and worked on his craft. And when he was eligible for the NBA draft, he showed up like, here I am.
Yo, Thon Maker went to take care of his kids. He like 45, man. Yeah, I'm playing games out here, man. My man like 45. He went back home. Wife, he said like, yo, you out here running with these little high school girls. You better come home and take care of your kids. Oh, man, that was an ill show, man.
So
the
finish
lost
up
thing.
On that. Finish it up on that.
No. I was just saying, like, Thon Maker, that you those are outliers. Those don't. That's not the majority. That's an exception to the rule. You gotta. Like I said, this whole thing wouldn't be happening with the FBI and the NCAA if there wasn't money involved. Then why are these players getting paid? Because they should be. Why are these sneaker companies and agents paying them? Because they see the value. NCAA value these players. Give them that bag, man.
What's the right amount?
We figured that out.
It's still going to be just, oh, man. Yo,
we figured that out.
What's next on the agenda, man?
Yo, you ain't see my man Tiger Woods is back. Young Eldris out here balling again, man. The crazy thing about that is I have no interest in golf. I never was a golf fan. I'm not even a Tiger Woods fan. He doesn't do anything for me. But the crazy thing is as soon as he's back, everybody got eyes on golf. Everybody's watching. Oh, my God, Tiger's going to win a tournament. Nobody cares about golf besides the golf fan.
What makes you say he's back?
Well, he had a good showing. He had a good showing over at a tournament a couple weeks back. He said they're lining him up to – Tiger Woods basically comes out to win Masters. The Masters are the major – golf tournaments throughout the course of the year. So there was a smaller tournament that happened. Tiger Woods came out, had a good showing. He usually doesn't even make the cut. For people who don't know golf, the cut is making the day to play on into the weekend. So Tiger Woods hasn't made the cut since wifey smashed up his Escalade. So ever since then, there's been no Tiger, but they say Tiger about the prompts, man. What's going on?
Yo, I don't give a F about Tiger. This is what I'll say about Tiger Woods, though. Tiger Woods. I'll say this about Tiger. Yo, Tiger is the perfect example of what we say in the hood. All money isn't good money.
Tiger went for that bag, man.
Yo, Tiger tried to sell us that he was this wholesome. He was in the magazines with his wife and kids and his dogs. Yo,
he's selling Buicks, man.
Yo, Finn, you know when they put the dogs in the picture, they really... Dog... If that's not who you are, don't put that image out there, son. You deserve all the backlash you ever got because you deceive people. In America, all we ask for is authenticity. All we ask for is honesty. You know, I watch. We just buried Hugh Hefner.
R.I.P. to the bit.
You know, playboy entrepreneur. Heffa showed up with 20 women, and America loved him. You know why? Because he never deceived us. He never tried to lie to us. Tiger sleep with somebody outside of his marriage, and the world comes down on him, and that's good for him. Yo, stop deceive. Yo, if you ain't a married dude, if you want to run these streets, be you. The world will eventually embrace who you are.
Honestly, you say that, but he could have did that, and it would have been fine. You know why? Because Tiger was winning. It don't matter what you're doing. Once you win it, it doesn't matter. Prime example of that. Your favorite player caught an Oscar this week. And I don't know if he was the person to be on stage for the Oscars because right now Hollywood is wrapping up all the rapists, the grabby, the touchy-feely dudes. And a couple years back, my man was out in Colorado digging in the snow, man.
Yo, I saw the Me Too movement came for Kobe.
It's like, yo.
Hold on. Yo, if you don't know, Kobe Bryant won an Oscar for some documentary he did. And afterwards, the Me Too movement came down on him for his sexual assault.
Everybody.
But, yo, they mad inconsistent. Kobe played 10 years after that. Y'all ain't say a word, but y'all see him get an Oscar. But Kobe ain't raped that girl. We know that.
She came for that bag, man. Everybody out there for self, man. That's crazy. I got one thing to say and one thing left. Shout out to the Women's Olympic gold medal hockey team. We showed out for the USA, man.
Man, yo. Fenton's my movie critic, too. You saw Black Panther?
Yo, Black Panther? Of course I saw Black Panther, man. What you doing, man? Wakanda forever, baby.
Nah, I'm sitting this one out. I hate when black people get all excited about some stuff like there's not 364 more days in a year. Like, y'all know if we band it together all the time, we might have more than one movie in 60 years, right? Y'all do know that, right?
They came together for Get Out, too. That's two for two this year, man. All Tyler Perry got to do is come out with something for Thanksgiving and we lit.
Yo, that's great. What'd you think of Black Panther? I might go see it tomorrow. What you thought of it?
You know me, man. I'm a Marvel head, comic book head. I had to go see that. I wasn't skipping that out for nothing. But it was a good flick. I had a conversation with my boy K-Mac McDougal. he brought me back in. Before I told you, Black Panther wasn't on my Marvel top 10. And he knocked some sense in my head. It's in the top 10, but it's a weak 9 or 10. But I got to give it love, man. Black Panther was a cool flick. It was a good watch.
But, yo, I saw the actor Chadwick Boseman. I saw him on Jimmy Kimmel, and they had him – or Jimmy Fallon, one of them. They had him surprising fans. And one black lady, like, she was just so in love. Like, yo, he was the next Martin Luther King. I'm like, come on, son. This movie, stop.
Yo.
What it do for the black movement? Like, why the black folks so excited?
Yo, can we come together for something? God damn. You know if we try to come together and take over the world, they gonna take us out. So we coming together for a movie, man. Let us live, man. Stop trying to come for our knees, man. Let us come together for something. It's crazy that we do come together for some of the wrong things, but at the same time, let us enjoy this moment, man. It's a good flick. Go check it out, man.
What else we got on the agenda, man? We almost out of here.
Yeah, we out of here, man.
Yo, that's it. The lost episode, man. We just sitting here trying to.
You just lost one.
Yo, WBH Radio, we out.